Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news stories in the first part of the show today, up to and including a call from Steve here in Tennessee in regard to conversations about things Jesuit, things Masonic, things Zionistic, and what Steve believes to be the relationship between those different movements in terms of who preceded whom, perhaps. With special reference that he's made to an article in the Saturday Evening Post from 1959 that has a lot of interesting information in it. And I just wanted to give him an opportunity to get back on it, to chat with me a little bit more about some of this, especially as I've mentioned on the air, I have a confidential source up in North Dakota who has mailed me some things with some citations that maybe would make for interesting conversation as we continue with Steve this morning. Go ahead, sir.
You've heard of Moody Institute?
Sure.
Okay, well, they have the Wycliffe Bible Commentary. And you go to Revelation 17:1-6, and it goes, "The mother of harlots commits fornication with the kings of the earth, and for a while dominates them. To whom or what does this woman refer?" The majority of commentators since the time of the Reformation identify her as the papacy, such as Luther, Tyndall, Knox, Calvin. And she also mentions Alfred, Eliot, Lang, and many others. The Roman Catholic Church identifies this woman as Rome, but of course, pagan Rome. Now, it goes on here a little bit. This is an interesting, because the other day I heard you ask, why are Christians, you know, acting the way they're acting? This will help you understand. It says, "Those adopting the ecclesiastical interpretation, as we have noted, make Babylon stand for the papacy, and there is much here to support their view. This is apostate Christendom, a world religion that has betrayed Christianity and is interlocked with pagan, godless governments of the world. Many believe, and I would agree, that the day is coming when the Roman Church itself, in some mysterious way, enter in to a compromising relationship with atheistic communism. Now, the World Council on Churches is communist. They're Marxist. If you go back and look at their records of what they've been doing, this is apostate Christendom. And Rome claims them as her daughters. And if we look, you know, close to what's going on here, we've got some very interesting people who are Masons in this group. And lost the guy's name, the Crystal Cathedral.
Schuller?
Yes, Robert Schuller, 33-degree Mason. Another interesting brother, Billy Graham, 33-degree Mason. We've got Bill Clinton, who I have a picture of him taking the Eucharist, who claims to be a Baptist. You know, Tex Mars has a quote, says Bill is saying that I'm the most Jesuit Baptist you'll ever meet. And like Newt Gingrich, 33-degree Mason, Jack Kemp, Thurman, Powell, Helms, Goldwater, Gore, Jack Kemp, Bob Dole. And here's Saddam Hussein, Tony Blair, are all Masons. Okay, now Blair had, when we attacked Saddam Hussein, he took his wife and his children into security there in Britain. I mean, what is this stuff?
Hang on, Steve, we'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Okay. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and talking with Steve in Tennessee about some things related to the Jesuits and to the Masonic Orders and to Zionism and to the Illuminati and so forth and so on. A lot of disagreement among people on the American right as to which of these movements preceded which in regard to what we should see as the seminal force behind all of the rest of them. And in relationship to what Steve was talking about before the break, one of the things he was talking about, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, or the Knights of Malta, a source of mine up in North Dakota who listens to this network was mailing something to me from Greg Szymanski's site, arcticbeacon.com. And on arcticbeacon.com, it says that the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, the so-called Knights of Malta, is an international secret society composed of the world's black nobility, as well as top bankers, businessmen, politicians, and intelligence operatives. Some of the names you might recognize are ex-Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Rick Santorum, William J. McDonough, CFR member and former head of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, Alexander Haig Jr., whose brother Francis is a powerful Jesuit, George J. Tenet, John McCone, and William Wild Bill Donovan, all former heads of the CIA, William F. Buckley, CFR member, CIA officer, and former head of National Review, Kartha Deloach, the former assistant FBI director, Henry Luce is mentioned here, and the list just goes on, of course, in regard to some of the individuals who are allegedly members of the Knights of Malta, according to ArcticBeacon.com. And the list continues with all kinds of names that you would recognize. Far too lengthy to go into here, simply for from the vantage point of time. But if you look at ArcticBeacon.com, there are a number of places where I'm sure this information will appear. And one of the things, Steve, as we chat through this, that becomes an obvious point of contention, as I have been reading a couple of different sources on this, is this whole issue of Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Bavarian Illuminati. Are you familiar with this gentleman?
Yeah, well, I never met him personally, but yes.
Well, yes. The I'm reading, for example, The Synagogue of Satan, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new book that is put out by Tex Mars Publishing House, Rivercrest Publishing up in Austin. And there is reference, of course, made in these historical chronological listings in the Synagogue of Satan to Adam Weishaupt. Now, reading what Andrew Hitchcock has here, he says that in 1770, Meyer Amschel Rothschild draws up plans for the creation of the Illuminati and entrusts Ashkenazi Jew Adam Weishaupt, a crypto-Jew, a Jew who pretends he's not Jewish, who is outwardly Roman Catholic, with its organization and development. The Illuminati is to be based upon the teachings of the Talmud, which is in turn the teachings of rabbinical Jews. It is to be called the Illuminati, which is a Luciferian term, which means keepers of the light. And then in going on to the next page, under 1776, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock in the Synagogue of Satan says, quote, Adam Weishaupt officially completes his organization of the Illuminati on May 1st of this year. The purpose of the Illuminati is to divide the non-Jews through political, economic, social, and religious means. The plan is for the opposing sides of the Goyim, non-Jews, to be armed, whilst incidents are to be provided in order for them to fight amongst themselves, destroy national governments, destroy religious institutions, and eventually destroy each other. Weishaupt soon infiltrates the Continental Order of Freemasons with this Illuminati doctrine and establishes lodges of the Grand Orient to be their secret headquarters. This is all under the orders and finance of Mayor Amschel Rothschild, and the concept subsequently spreads into Masonic lodges worldwide to the present day. And that's just a little bit of what is said about the Illuminati and about Adam Weishaupt in Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's book, The Synagogue of Satan, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. Now, getting back to the Arctic Beacon for a moment, here's something that appears on that website. It's posed in the form of a question. Question. It has been said that Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Bavarian Illuminati, was trained by Jesuits, but many point out that Adam Weishaupt defected from this Christianity. If this is so, how are the Jesuits connected to the Illuminati? The answer that's provided by ArcticBeacon.com is as follows. The Jesuits are the masters of conspiratorial history. Their agents are always in place to redirect those who discover the conspiracy for a world government. One of their greatest deceptions, quoting ArcticBeacon.com here, one of their greatest deceptions is to divert the seeker into blaming Freemasonry and thus the Jews exclusively. This tenet sits at the heart of one of the order's most effective lies, that Adam Weishaupt was a Jew, contrary to the order's constitutions until 1946, and that he defected from the Jesuit order, as he had been an instructor of canon law and Jesuit moral theology at Ingolstadt College in Bavaria, Bavaria being the company's mightiest stronghold north of the Alps, and that his founding of the Illuminati was completely free of Jesuit influence. So there you see a difference of opinion very strongly expressed here between ArcticBeacon.com on the one hand and Andrew Carrington Hitchcock of the Synagogue of Satan on the other, in regard to this whole business of Adam Weishaupt and what his relationship was to Roman Catholicism, and whether or not he in fact was an Ashkenazic Jew and a so-called crypto-Jew. And in his establishment of the Illuminati, was it in fact based upon the teachings of the Talmud, which is in turn the teachings of rabbinical Jews? This is, I think, a very key point, and that it pinpoints, I think, the historical difference of opinion over which cart is before which horse. Is the Jesuit order the horse, or is world Jewry and Pharisaic Judaism dating back to the time of Jesus the horse that's pulling the cart here? And it seems that at this particular juncture with Weishaupt and the whole question of the Illuminati and what Weishaupt's connection was to Judaism on the one hand and Roman Catholicism on the other seems to be at the heart of this, of where people come down on this one way or the other. What's your thinking on this, Steve?
If we will look at the French Revolution in its 3.5 years of terror there, we find that this was in 1798. That's 1,260 years after Rome received its ecclesiastical and political power, according to the 1,260-day prophecy, the 42-month prophecy, the 3.5 times and dividing a time in the Daniel and also in Revelation. Okay, this was where the Jesuits gave Rome a hit, because even Rome had disbanded the Jesuit order because they were so divisive and so evil and so powerful. Now, I forget how many countries. I mean, over and over again, they cast these people out. Well, this was payback time. And this is when the Jacobins come up in the French Revolution. And they gave Rome a hit. And Napoleon, being a Mason, you know, was the one who went around to the heads of state and killed them. Because even Catholic monarchs threw the Jesuits out. You don't throw a Jesuit out, and Jesuits don't quit. So when we look at this, you know, renegade Jesuit, Jesuits play both sides of the fence so that they're the gainers in the end. The Hegelian dialectic thingamajig, they call it. It's just satanic, you know, the left versus the right, and they're both the same, and they just rub each other up against so you get the what they want. Because anybody, after a while, will go peace under anything, anything, we'll do anything. And he says, anything? Yeah, he says, all right, this is the anything. So, but anyway, when you follow this, the history, you go back to the Knights Templar. This was during the Crusade. They became very powerful. They worshiped Baphomet, which the energetic god, it's the half goat, half male, half female. You know, one of the things I wanted to say, I'm going to interrupt myself here if you don't mind. We have a problem with homosexuality in this world, not only in the United States. And the laws that are being passed by our Supreme Court. Now, why would the Supreme Court lean heavily towards homosexuals? And the reason is that there are 5 out of the 9 Supreme Court judges that are Catholic. And one of the 9 is an Anglican. And the Anglicans have capitulated to Rome, saying that the Pope is the head of the church, and they have a homosexual priesthood also.
You know, so well, you can look at the same data and demonstrate quite clearly that there is a tremendous amount of Jewish involvement in the financing of the gay rights movements, and a tremendous amount of Jewish involvement overtly in the promotion of the homosexual rights agenda, as is evidenced by the fact that it would seem that the Jews are the leading force behind the pro-homosexual expressions that we see in the hate crimes laws. But we'll come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Steve of Tennessee and any other callers that would like to call in. It's 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
And Cost America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been examining a series of news stories today, including the latest post from Ted Pike on the hate crimes legislation. Senate Bill 1105 is well worth your time to keep an eye on in regard to keeping this incredible hate crimes legislation from becoming a reality in this country. There is a version which has already passed the House of Representatives. Mr. Bush indicates that he will veto that legislation. It's interesting to watch Senate Bill 1105 now to see exactly how that's going to play. But suffice it to say that when we look at the forces that are behind this hate crimes legislation and the pro-homosexual orientation that very clearly is being expressed through this hate crimes ideology, I think in this particular instance, Steve, it would seem to me that the overwhelming preponderance of evidence, at least in this instance, points to a strong Jewish lobby connection to that legislation.
Yes, it does. And what it is I go back to what the Saturday Evening Post did, B'nai B'rit. Who's that?
That's the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, yes.
Yeah, yes. Okay, now if the Jesuits control them, what happens is that the Anti-Defamation League goes blah, 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 and causes a bunch of trouble. And then you look over to Rome, and Rome, we didn't do it. It's them. You know, and they go, oh, the Freemasons, they go out and do something. They go, oh, it wasn't us. It was them. See, the Jesuits stand behind fronts, behind fronts, behind fronts. It's like our companies. It's interlocking board of directors is what this is all about. If you
well,
go back to, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Sorry, brother. If you go back, let's go back to, I don't know how to make this short, but anyway, I'm going to give it a try. You go back
That's all right.
to
go ahead.
Babylon was defeated by the Medes and the Persians. Now, they kept the same basic fundamental worship, so to speak, but there was a big rift between the Kabbalah Jews, so to speak, the ones that didn't go back to Jerusalem, but stayed in the Babylonian mystery religion, the Chaldean religion. Well, they finally had a rift, and they left. They picked up their philosopher's stone. They headed to Pergam, and then from Pergam they went to Rome, and then Rome finally took over in 538 A.D. And you see, this is just a continuation of the two sides of the. Of the House of Israel. One was the Pharisees, the other was the Sadducees. Okay, but this portion was the apostate Jews who went into the Chaldean mystery religion, ended up in Rome. Well, in 538 A.D., under the decree from Justinian, in 533, that couldn't go into effect until 538, when the last of the three barbaric tribes were rooted up of the ten horns that took over Rome was the Ostrogoths in 538. And that's when Rome got its power. Well, you come on up through the ages here, and you keep a close look at history, what they said, what they did. You come to the Knights of Templar in the Crusade area. These people were the elite. They were the fighting force. They actually took over Jerusalem. And finally, in the 1300s, I think 1315, something like that, I can't remember the date now, the Jacques de Molay was burnt. And because they were becoming so powerful and had been accused of some very immoral acts, even spitting on the cross, and bowing to Baphomet. Okay, so, well, if you go to Albert Pike's book, Morals and Dogma, the original one, not the perverted one you can get today, but the original old one, he even states about the Knights and Templar, what they were doing and where they came from, and that they started the Scottish Rite.
But Pike, doesn't Pike emphasize at the same time that Freemasonry is a religion, quoting again from the Synagogue of Satan here, based on the occult Jewish philosophy found in the Kabbalah?
Yes, the Kabbalah.
Yes.
Okay, now that's one of the things that I think we make a grave error is saying it's Jewish. It's not Jewish. Jews, see, this is what happened during World War II with Hitler. No, see, Hitler was a Catholic.
And he the Kabbalah is not Jewish?
Well, no, it's not of the Jews. It's of the apostate people who, see, now there's a difference. You know, the Jews killed the Jews. In World War II, you know, none of the big bankers went down. None of the high, influential, we call Jews. It was all the mom and pop Jewish people. They're the ones that died. And this is what's happening today. We're going the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. And the only ones that suffer are the the people who are actual believers in the Talmud, so to speak, but they're actually the believers in the Pentateuch, the Old Testament.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
This is Mark Ann Costa-Erica coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, on the Public Broadcasting Network. We've been examining a series of news stories today and taking calls. Steve from Tennessee has been chatting with me about a series of things related to Jesuits, related to the Illuminati, related to the Masonic Order, related to Jews, and so forth and so on. And who precedes whom in regard to some of the core central conspiracy theories of all of history? If anybody else wants to call in, they certainly can at 1-800-313-9443. Steve, where were we before the break?
Well, we were trying to get down to who's who in the zoo here and who came first.
Well, see, to me, the entire New Testament, just as I look for a core central theory on this, when I look at the entire New Testament witness, it seems to me that whether you're looking at the gospel narratives, the synoptic gospels, or the gospel of John, or you're looking at the book of Acts, which of course explains the earliest stages of church history and the expansion of Christianity beyond its earliest Palestinian roots into the Hellenistic world. And then when you start to read some of the things that are said in Paul's epistles and the Petrine epistles and the various things, of course, that are said by Peter in his epistles and in John's Apocalypse, I frankly have to tell you that I think the core central theme of the 27 books of the New Testament is that the great struggle between believers in Jesus Christ and those who are not believers in Jesus Christ, and those who espouse belief in the kingdom of God according to Jesus, and those who don't, at least according to the New Testament and the 27 books that I read there, seems to involve a core conflict between the followers of Jesus on the one hand and those who follow the line of Pharisaic Judaism on the other. And this culminates, certainly, I think, in what is said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, where in the great warning that Jesus has John issue to the church at Smyrna, they are told to beware of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. What does that mean?
Well, there's only two on this earth. Those who believe in the Creator, and Jesus is the Creator. He's created all things.
Right.
Okay? And those who worship Satan, because he's the only other, and he's the God of this world. Okay? When you go back and who, under what name, what organizations worship Lucifer? And you can go back to the threefold union of Revelation 16, 13, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Okay. The dragon we know out of Revelation 12 is the devil. And this is spiritualism. We would call this the New Age movement maybe today. You go back to Madame, pardon me?
Yeah, I'm just saying, okay.
Okay, you go back to Madame Blavatsky, Annie Besant, who's the one that was talked to, Dwal Kool? I can't remember her name now. There's too many names. But anyway, this is one group in this conspiracy in the last days. The next one is the beast, and all the Protestants say that Rome was the beast. Now, the false prophet, okay, like Rome has tradition, and the Bible. If the Bible and tradition do not agree, the tradition supersedes the Bible. Okay? Now, a Protestant is the, you know, sola scriptura, you know, Bible and the Bible only. A false prophet and a true prophet. The true prophet comes up and says, thus saith the Lord, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. A false prophet comes up and says, thus saith the Lord, John 14:15, if you love me, you don't have to keep my commandments. Well, the false prophet is apostate Protestantism, because they're not the Bible anymore. It's the World Council on Churches, and they're connected with Rome. And Rome has two religions. One is the Kabbalah, and the other is what is called Catholicism for the people who are duped. And you go back and you see that the cardinals and the bishops and the Pope, they're Masons. And they're all tied together, because if you go down and look at the symbolism.
But see, I've had Catholic priests on this show who would agree with you on that. In other words, who have said that in their view, the eschatological interpretation that you're offering us here, they think would have some merit. But they would simply say that what we have seen ever since the time of John the 23rd, in their view, is a situation where you have had a series of so-called anti-popes who have been infiltrated by Masonic and Zionist interests. Malachi Martin comes to the fore in regard to what Mike Piper said about him in the book The Judas Goats and the role that he played in helping Zionist interests being furthered during the time of Vatican II in the 1960s. But their position would be that an apostate Roman Catholic Church, which finds itself in the hands of people who want to promote a worldwide ecumenism, which I think would include your theory about the World and National Council of Churches, I think that these Diamond Brothers that I was talking with some weeks ago on the show, I think would affirm all of that, and would affirm that the whore of Babylon, as it were, sits on the city of seven hills, which quite clearly is a reference to Rome. But are we talking about a situation here where the apostate one world religion that interestingly enough, the Diamond Brothers from this Most Holy, what is the name of this group up that they have up in New York? The Most Holy Monastery, the Most Holy Order Monastery, or something of this up in Fillmore, New York. I think their eschatological view can basically be harmonized with that of Luther and Calvin and Knox and others in seeing the. That maybe what we're talking about in terms of the beast and the false prophet and the whore of Babylon is a situation where the world religious and political system that will exist in the end times and which has a global outreach quite clearly may in fact be based in Rome, but that the forces that have infiltrated the Roman Catholic institution. It seems to me you could make a very strong case of had strong Masonic and Zionist orientations.
Okay, if you go back now in symbolism, you see at the Tower of Babel, the Lord really made Satan have to work for the last 4,000 years. Now the Babylonians, the mystery religion, use symbolism. They talk to one another. One of them is the all-seeing eye. We know that that's Masonic. It's on our dollar. But it's also in the Jesuit churches. And it's also in Islam. It's also in the Mormons. Now, I mean, we got the all-seeing eye. I mean, even the I just bought a book in the store. It talks about Vietnam. The Buddhists, they have the all-seeing eye. See, this all-seeing eye is Lucifer. So we have the Jesuit order in their churches. And they've got the two-headed sphinx, or not sphinx, but what's the bird? I can't think. I got too much on my mind here. The phoenix. No, not the phoenix. Yeah, the phoenix. The two-headed, that's their shield. And when the sickle and the hammer came down in Russia, they put up the double-headed phoenix, which is Mason, which is Jesuit. Which, you know, the symbolism, you find it everywhere. And they all have that, the pentagon. Okay, that's the witches, 13 witches stand in the center of this pentagon, just like they do at the Pentagon, our war area over there, if you ever notice what that is. And it's 12 around 1. It's a counterfeit of Christ. And this is what Satan does. He counterfeits Christ. But you've got all this symbolism that you see. And they're all interlocked with this symbolism, so you can easily trace them down. And it's everywhere. You know, like Exxon, the double cross, the two X's up there, that's the double cross of Masonry. You ever heard the term, I've been double crossed?
Okay, well, let's assume, for example, for the sake of argument, that in terms of biblical eschatology, speaking about the beast and the false prophet, and this overarching system of the whore of Babylon that John talks about in his Apocalypse, would it be legitimate to say that maybe what's being talked about in terms of the religious side of the thing is a world religion at the end of time that will be a demonic amalgamation of what has been Roman Catholicism, what has been Protestantism, Judaism, perverse forms of Islam, and so forth and so on, so that the move toward a one world religion is an attempt to create ultimately a new entity that will be a false amalgamation of all of these different world religions in history? Would that be your take on this?
I can't remember the years. I wish I could write this down and memorize some of this information here, but it was with John Paul II. Anyway, that takes on from the 70s up until recently. But there was a picture where they had all these different heads of religion came around the Pope. They were all wearing dark, and he was wearing his white. That's the sign of submission to the Pope. Here's everything from snake charmers to Jews were there. The Orthodox Church was there. Everybody was lined up with the Pope. And this has happened a couple of times. And when you look at Rome, when they go in, they just kind of fit right in because they're sun worship. That's what it is. It's sun worship. And I think somewhere around the 400s, even before Rome got its complete existence as the Roman Catholic Church, in the 400s, the bishops all got together and says that Mary is the mother of God. Okay, that's a direct reference back to Semiramis, Diana of the Ephesians, Isis, all this goddess worship. And, you know, when you start looking at Roman Catholicism, they worship the saints under different, you know, the ones that have died. They even have a saint for television. I mean, it's so ridiculous.
Well, I mean, quite clearly, if you go back in my own autobiography, and matter of fact, I'm working on a graduate thesis right now dealing with Martin Chemnitz's evaluation of the Council of Trent, which went on for quite a number of years in the 16th century, I think up until the year 1563. But when it comes to the formal and material principles of the Protestant Reformation, I'm clearly on the Lutheran side of that divide, the so-called evangelical side of that divide, both in terms of the formal and material principles of that Reformation. One dealing, of course, with sola scriptura, the scriptures alone. The other one dealing with sola fide, or the idea that we are saved by God's grace through faith alone, and that it is Christ alone. So I'm clearly on so-called Protestant or evangelical divide of that great 16th century debate that culminated with the Council of Trent, of course, issuing its proposals of counter-reformation to what Luther and Calvin and others have been talking about. Having said that, frankly, I look at the New Testament witness and just the history of the last 2,000 years as it relates to central banking and as it relates to a series of things that have emanated from central banking, which have included, of course, the tragedies of the last 100 years in regard to the world wars and a series of other events. And I don't think Luther, based upon what he said in his treatise on the Jews and their lies, would disagree with the notion that according to his perceptions of the rise of the banking system in Europe in the 16th century, that he would have a problem with the notion that the core prime movers and shakers behind many, if not most, of the evil events in world history right now were frankly Jewish. I mean, I look at the House of Rothschild, for example, which I think definitely had a relationship with the Vatican, and it was a relationship of infiltration, going back into what Hitchcock talks about in his book. But I look at this whole thing as it relates today to central banking, as it relates to corporate financial power, as it relates to the neoconservative movement in this country that is behind these wars for empire. And the primary force that I see involved in all of this, when I look at people like Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz, when I look at David Wormser and some of these other folks, they're all Jewish.
Well, that's nice, but they're not Jewish. They're Satanists. And the thing is that we get confused between a person who, like even in the Bible, I'm taking.
How are you defining? They are Ashkenazic Jews who basically are committed to a doctrine of Jewish racial supremacy, which I think goes back to both the Kabbalah and certainly the Babylonian Talmud. Now, I think you can certainly distinguish between that and a Torah brand of Judaism that emphasizes a belief in Moses' Pentateuch, certainly. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that whether you're looking at the Judaism of the Torah, or you're looking at the Babylonian Talmudic and Kabbalistic versions of Judaism, which have had such sway with what we know of today as Ashkenazic Jewry, that in either instance, are we not dealing again with Jesus' warning about bewaring of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm referring to, is that these people are not the Jews. They're of the synagogue of Satan. And there's a difference. They're not, I mean, we're really grasping at hairs here.
Well, maybe we're talking about the same thing. I'm just trying to talk it through to see, you know, what the, so I don't know how much agreement and disagreement we've got going here, but this, you know, trying to sort through this whole thing.
It's part of semantics. We need to know, we need to be quite particular. Because, you know, in 2 Thessalonians, it says, let no man deceive you by any means. You know, that day shall not come. It says, and it goes, the son of perdition, okay, he says, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself he is God. Now, who does that more than anybody else on this earth? It's Roman the Pontiff, and he's controlled by the Jesuit general. And it all boils down to worship. Because this is what it is. Either you're going to worship Jesus Christ or you're going to worship Satan under any of the guises. But when I say a Jew, a lot of people will look at somebody over there who just happens to be...
We'll be back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action! In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
is Mark Ancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been dealing with some news stories today, and in the last hour or so, I've been chatting with Steve from Tennessee in regard to issues eschatological and issues related to human evil and of the various conspiracy theories that have existed to explain all of the different things that have gone on in the world in, lo, these last however many thousands of years. Certainly things that relate to issues Masonic and issues Kabbalistic, issues related to the Babylonian Talmud, issues that relate to all kinds of secret societies and central banking, which seem to be core themes that we're chatting about in regard to who and what has been behind some of the most evil developments in world history, without claiming inerrancy in any sense of the word. And, of course, as one who, again, is on the Protestant or Lutheran side of the great divide between Luther and Rome, and between the evangelicals and Rome, going back to the 16th century, over both the material and formal principles of the Protestant Reformation, I would have to say at the same time that when I look at the core of the evil that I think is behind the political events of today, I would certainly go back to the great conflict in the New Testament between Pharisaic Judaism on the one hand and the followers of Jesus on the other. I think this certainly culminates in Jesus' warning to the church of Smyrna through the Apostle John to the in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, that we are to beware of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. I think this then ties into developments in the 8th century A.D. in a place called Caesarea, a landlocked area between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, where what we know of today, in my view, as the modern Jewish race is born. A modern Jewish race that incidentally cannot be traced back to the blood lineage of Abraham. But looking at this whole business of Caesarea and Ashkenazic Jewry, going back to the 8th century, and the way in which from the 8th century onward, this particular group of people began to play a tremendous role in world history, especially through the development of the Rothschild banking dynasty, and the way in which the House of Rothschild and the development of the modern central banking system has had such incredible tentacles throughout absolutely every sector of every society on this planet. When we start looking at wars and assassinations and rumors of war, when we start looking at prophets, when we start looking at the unseen hands that manipulate the political events that we see in corporate media, I think we go back to this whole business of Caesarea in the 8th century A.D. We go back to Ashkenazic Jewry. We go back to the development of the modern banking system and the House of Rothschild, and the way in which, in turn, the House of Rothschild, in my view, has had such an incredible impact in infiltrating the Masonic orders, infiltrating the banking systems of all of the different nations, being involved in setting up wars and rumors of war, facilitating revolutions, assassinating political leaders throughout the centuries. All of this, I think, goes back to that fundamental statement of Jesus to John and ultimately to the church at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. Beware of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And when we talk about the beast and the false prophet and the whore of Babylon, it seems to me that the Ashkenazic Jewish movement and the House of Rothschild are a major, if not the central portion of the glue that will hold that system together. Is that accurate? I guess we'll see at the end of history. We'll be back.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado,